Today, you are listening to Madhvi on Accent of Women. This segment and the ones after this will be recorded on Virunjiri Vivarum country. We pay respects to the elders, past, present and emerging. Sovereignty was never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Human Rights Watch has described India's newly passed 2026 transgender bill as a major setback for human rights, warning that it rolls back hard-won protections for trans people. The law narrows the legal definition of who is recognized as transgender and replaces the right to self-identify with a system that requires medical certification and state approval. Critics say this shift undermines dignity, privacy, and autonomy, while giving authorities greater control over deeply personal aspects of identity and healthcare. It also raises concerns that many trans and non-binary people could be excluded from legal recognition altogether. Human Rights Watch and other advocates argue that rather than strengthening protections, the bill risks increasing discrimination and barriers to essential services. At a time when the trans community continues to fight for equality and recognition. Today, we speak with Raghvi Shukla, a prominent Indian lawyer and transgender rights advocate, also known as the first openly trans lawyer to argue in the Supreme Court, to unpack what this bill means. Let's welcome Raghvi Shukla. Thanks so much for joining us, Raghvi. Let's get straight into it. My first question to you would be that the government of India has passed the 2026 trans bill. What is the bill exactly and who is it excluding?
So the bill that you're referring to has, after president's assent, become an act and is going to amend the Transgender Persons Protection of Rights Act 2019, which was a victory after a year and a decade or so long battle for the rights and recognition of transgender persons. And the bill is going to make some major changes and amendments to the larger 2019 Act itself. It seeks to amend the definition. It is going to completely wipe out the right to self-determination, and it criminalizes trans people, their bodies and their support networks, their networks of care. But, you know, to address the part where you are asking me, who does it exclude? It is important to realize that after a very long battle, trans people were able to get some recognition in 2014 when the NALSA versus Union of India judgment was passed. After that judgment was delivered, a whole lot of trans identities under the umbrella term of transgender persons were recognized, and that also kind of became the definition that was incorporated in the 2019 Act. However, now the amended definition is excluding trans men, non-binary people, trans women who are not part of the socio-cultural identities, for example, Hijra and Kinnar. So, for example, trans women who did not join socio-cultural identities and decided to become lawyer or doctor or teacher are also not a part of the definition itself. Then you have genderqueer, gender non-conforming people who have been excluded. And in this way, a whole lot of identities have been completely erased, and they are not now within, they are not considered to be trans. So we don't know how are the people going to identify them, because with the previous definition, a lot of people managed to feel safe and come out. They went with their medical transition, they went ahead with their legal transition, they changed their documents and started living their reality, their truth. now a whole lot of us, we don't know. We don't know where to go. We don't know who we are. So, for example, trans men who were a part of the unamended definition earlier are now not a part of the amended definition. And what happens to them? This is something which is like, this kind of uncertainty is very scary. And it is telling of the fact that how India is also in a sense being influenced by the what is happening internationally, which is the rollback on rights of the trans people.
Get your cash.
I ain't fucking with this nigga, y'all look the other way. I'ma check and come correct him, I ain't got time to play. Bad bitch, I'm militant, make no mistake, resilient. This lace front is Brazilian, chopper spray them civilians. Cash box short, but you gon' have my money, Mike. Cash box short, but you gon' have my money, right? I done shook my ass all night, I done shook my ass despite your low down crooked. Ain't no good, you know you don't deserve me, right? I said, what's a girl gotta do to get some cash? What's a girl gotta do? I said, what's a girl gotta do to get some cash? What's a girl gotta do? I said,
that was Patriarchy and the End of Me by Mickey Blanco. You are listening to Accent of Women. And today we are talking to Raghvi Shukla about the 2026 Transgender Persons Amendment Bill, which restricts self-identification rights and makes identification or identity as a process which is mandated by medical evaluation. Let's continue with our chat with Raghvi to know more. As a lawyer, what practical and social consequences do you foresee for the trans community, particularly in terms of access to healthcare and legal recognition?
You know, I have been getting so many messages and calls from people who are not sure, who don't know what is going to happen now since they woke up this morning and realized that, you know, they are no longer recognized, their identity is no longer recognized, and it is going to have far-reaching consequences, and it is going to make an already marginalized community more vulnerable to violence, more vulnerable to discrimination, and it is going to seep into different aspects of their life, which is healthcare, your daily routine things, your workplace, your education. With healthcare also, since you are not recognized as a trans person anymore, and there are very vague and overbroad penal provisions that talk about forcefully making someone trans by using allurement, coercion, force, and you influence. So such vague and overbroad language is also being used. Now, one is the exclusion part, and the other is you exclude one identity and you also ensure that any kind of support and care to them is criminalized. Now, both these things are going to work in a manner that doctors, endocrinologists, therapists will refuse to provide gender-affirming care to trans people. So, for example, trans men are not a part of the new definition. And how do they now navigate healthcare? How do they go to the doctor and say that I need my testosterone shot? Because the doctor will say that you are not recognized under the new act, and also I can't help you, I can't support you, because now this law which uses things like allurement and coercion can be used against me. How will I prove in court that I did not allure you? And so all these things will make it difficult to survive itself. With employment also, a lot of people who started having a normal life in some sense, everything is disrupted now. Similarly, legal recognition, now that the government doesn't see you as a trans person and doesn't see you as someone who can go today and get their gender markers changed, that also is going to create a lot of issues. We also don't know if this law will be applied retrospectively, because if it is going to be applied retrospectively, what happens to a lot of us who have managed to change our legal documents, and where do we go from here? Will the government change our documents again? And that also, you know, I feel like it is going to lead to a mental health crisis. Because now you have people who managed to get a normal life. Now we are being forced to live a lie and not be able to live ourselves in our own way, in our own body. And that's, I think, is going to be something which will eventually be very difficult to manage.
You are listening to Accent of Women, and today we are talking to Raghvi Shukla, a prominent Indian lawyer and transgender rights advocate, who is unpacking the 2026 transgender bill for us, the impact it has had on the community, how regressive it is, and its repercussions. Let's continue to hear more. The law eliminates the right of transgender individuals to self-identify, which is a regression from the NALSA judgment. What is the community's fear when it comes to such an intrusion on bodily autonomy, privacy, and human rights?
Actually, these amendments are nothing but a serious breach of privacy, serious breach of a person's right to life with dignity, and a serious breach of right to self-determination. Because with the amendment completely removes the any possibility of right to self-determination for people who are not a part of the definition. We are not even seen as trans people. And then you have a situation in which and the people who are actually a part of the definition will also go through humiliation. So it's not like that they are being offered something great or they are safe, because they will have to go through the humiliation of appearing before a medical board and stripping off and then letting them assess and screen their bodies. So it is going to be a process of humiliation for people who are a part of the definition, and it is also going to be a problem for people who are not part of the definition, because then you have no legal recognition, no legal recourse. The surveillance also is a major issue, because another amendment that is being made, which is introduction of another section, and the section says that all the medical institutions will have to share data and details of anyone who is going through a gender affirming surgery, and this data will have to be shared with the district authorities. So my medical records, my health records also are being shared, and the entire list of amendments that are being made, they are going to create a situation of state surveillance over one's body. They are going to take away people's right to autonomy and to make decisions for their own body, and a serious breach of right to privacy.
In your view, does the passing of this bill reflect anything about the Indian society? Where does it stem from, and what is the government's motive behind this bill?
To be honest, I don't know. We really don't know what triggered these amendments. In Indian society also, there was some kind of, trans people were visible in some sense, and they were existing or coexisting with within the Indian society with a whole lot of other people. And in 2014, we managed to get some more visibility for other identities within the transgender umbrella, for example, trans men and non-binary people. And all of a sudden, it seems like everything is being erased, growth and all that development vis-a-vis trans rights that happened. It all seems to be at risk today. But we do feel that maybe it is informed by whatever is happening internationally, how trans rights are under attack, how their bodies, their very existence is under attack. Because we are unable to understand the hurry and the secrecy with which the bill was introduced, these amendments were introduced. There was no consultation with the community. There was no consultation with the representatives of the committee. We have a National Council for Transgender Persons, and not a single member from that community was consulted. So we don't know the intent behind it, because there is again so much going on across the globe. However, we do feel that we'll be able to challenge it in court. We'll be able to get out of the situation that we are in. I just hope that we all stay together and in solidarity with each other and move forward with that sense of togetherness.
Thank you.
That was Do You Wanna Funk by Sylvester. Before that, we were chatting with Raghvi Shukla, one of the first openly trans lawyers and transgender rights advocate, who has spoken staunchly in front of the Supreme Court. We feel thankful for Raghvi to be here with us today to unpack a very problematic amendment, transgender persons amendment bill, which has been condemned by Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. Advocates around the world have called it a regressive step, a step that erodes personal autonomy, creates increased risk of state-led discrimination, where identification becomes a process of medical evaluation by a state-appointed board. It also reflects the colonial understanding of what it means to be gender non-conforming or trans or non-binary, or what gender and sex basically means. This bill is a direct reversal of the landmark 2014 Nalsa judgment, which came about after years and years of activism and strife and struggle. Nalsa judgment in 2014 said that gender is an innate perception and a personal choice. While this Amendment Act 2026 says that identity must be verified by a medical board and recognized by a magistrate. I will leave you with that information today. Again, very thankful for Raghvi to join us today and for all of you to tune in. I will be back next time. Till then, take care. Goodbye.